the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 61 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we have a very special guest that I'm going to say most of our Disneyland fans know very well. Paul Berry from the Window to the Magic Podcast. Now, Paul is one of the best Disneyland podcasters out there, and I was very psyched to hear that we were able to have him for an interview. We're going to talk about some of the things Disneyland, some of the things Disney World, because for about the last 2 years, Paul's been doing some Disney World shows too. So, without further ado, with Sam, this is Ed, and here we go. On tonight's show, we have a very, very special surprise. We have a guest from the California side of the country. We have Paul Berry from the Window to the Magic Podcast. Welcome, Paul. How's it going?
Wonderful. Thank you for having me on the show.
Along with Paul tonight, we're going to have Sam on the show. Sam, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to talking to Paul and find out how the heck he's been doing this for 10 years.
That's right. One of the first podcasts I listened to was Window to the Magic. And it was an odd listen for me because I really never get to California. So, Paul, how's everything been going?
Good. The question is not really how does he do it for 10 years, but why does he do it?
That is the right question. That's why yeah. You're here, because we're, you know, I think about this 1 year and nine more. Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah. And thank you very much for the compliments about having listened to the show and enjoyed it. We work hard to try to bring those Disneyland audio adventures. And, of course, we branched out into Disney World a year and a half ago or so. And we're having fun.
One of my truly favorite types of shows are those audio shows. I can't tell you how much they've just kind of led me through all the different things of driving far distances and mowing lawns and stuff like that. But one of the best sound effects, and one that I never would have ever heard, is just the turnstiles at Disneyland. Even such a sound like that, I can hear that today, and I'll know exactly where I am, and I've never been to Disneyland.
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny, because with the iPhone, one of the text-toned noises is that noise. And so you can actually have your text tone be the same sound as the turnstiles.
That's pretty cool.
It is very cool. Yeah, one of the things that we do in the park is we just kind of capture the sounds. Basically, when people walk through the Disney parks, they're hit with this constant barrage of visuals, and kind of secondary to it is the audio, and it's always been that way. But the guys that designed the park knew that audio was just as important as the video portion of what was going on in people's heads. And so what I do in the show is I take away all of the visuals. You don't get to see anything because it's just an audio show. And so instead of looking around the parks, you're listening around the parks. And people describe it all the time as an entirely new adventure in the park, something they never had even realized was going on as they were going through. It's a lot of fun.
It's a ton of fun. And one of the questions that I've gotten before and that I have for you. Tell me, what exactly is this binaural that everybody talks about? We talk about, you know, when you listen to a show like yours, you have to use headphones. So why is that?
Well, binaural audio is actually a specific type of stereo. And what it is, if you've ever been to a Disney park, been to Disneyland when they had the Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln where you had to put on the headphones, was what we lovingly call Great Haircuts with Mr. Lincoln. or if you've ever gone into the, what was it? It was Sounds Dangerous with Drew Carey.
Right.
Yeah. those were both produced with binaural audio. And what it is as I'm walking through the park, I have a set of stereo microphones that are specifically designed to be mounted nonchalantly in my ears, literally in my ears.
And so they look like earbuds of some sort, almost.
Pretty much, yeah. And okay. Anytime, like when I walk through security and anyone looks at me and says, what is that? I look at them and say, oh, my music player? And they go, oh, okay. And then I just walk right through. And it's just because it looks like a set of headphones. Now, it's actually black windscreens that are mounted in my ears. But as far as they're concerned, they look like headphones. And most people don't even notice that I'm wearing them. And what it does is it uses my head as a dampener. And so the audio that is getting to the left ear is getting to the right ear as well, but just a little bit delayed because it has to go around my head in order to get there. And so what it does is it produces 3D audio. Or when you listen with headphones, if you're walking, or if I'm walking through the park and somebody behind me is yelling at their child and telling them to, you know, have fun or they're going to go home. when you're sitting in your bedroom at night and you're listening to the show and you've got your headphones on, if you close your eyes, you'll actually hear those people behind you. And it's really disconcerting at times, because like there was one time when I was recording Fantasmic, and a guy came up behind me during the show and he goes, honey, are the kids with you? Right in my ear.
Oh.
And that scared the heck out of so many of the listeners, because this guy just shows up and he sounds like he's right behind you. And when you hear something like that, it sounds like he's right there. So you're not expecting there to be somebody standing right behind you yelling at you. And so it scares you to death. So that in a nutshell is binaural audio. It's highly realistic sounding audio, and a great way to surround yourself with the magic.
There you go. And exactly why you should have headphones on when you listen. And I've done that. And to Ed's point, it's usually while I'm cutting the grass, and I love it.
Oh, yeah. And there's been plenty of times where I've had to look behind me because of a sound I didn't expect was there. And, you know, it sounded so real. Very cool.
Yeah. Even I do that while I'm editing. There will be times where I will stop the playback to make sure that what I'm hearing was on the recorder and wasn't somebody standing like out on my patio or something.
Right. Right. One of the things I noticed, I don't know if you ever noticed this, is that whenever I listen to recordings from the parks, there is always the standard child crying. Don't know what it is, but it seems to happen more than not.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually, that's a standard running joke on Window to the Magic, is you are not at a Disney park until you hear a child crying. And so while we're going through the park, when we hear that child, I will just note, I'll go, oh, there we are. We're in a Disney park. Welcome to Disneyland. And then we'll just walk on. And so, you know, it happens. So there's that. And of course, there's the, you know, ever present swearing that happens as well.
It does, unfortunately.
That just requires some very, very careful editing.
Sure. Well, that's the fun of the after show.
Absolutely.
Some of the things about the sounds of the park are the sounds that are just natural that you hear as you go through the park. Of course, I don't know Disneyland as well as I know Walt Disney World, but I know when I'm walking through Epcot and I'm walking through Innoventions, I can hear specific music there. Or I'm walking past Test Track, you hear specific music there. It's always great to hear that, and the shows from Disneyland are crazy good in that I can almost feel like I've been to Disneyland by just listening to these shows.
Yeah, that's a very common comment that I receive, is that people feel as if they have been to the parks. I actually listened to a show that we did from Knott's Scary Farm during the Halloween season. And after I was done, I had felt like I had just left Knott's Scary Farm. And I was actually sitting at my desk at work. And it's just odd that, you know, you take the headphones off and you go, boy, that was a fun time at the park. Wait a second, I was just sitting at my desk. Why am I tired? You know, and it's because you become so, what we call it, an imagication. and it's Imagination Vacation. And it was most prominently described by Ricky Briganti from Inside the Magic when he drove right past his exit on the 4 on his way to work, because he was actually, at the time, mentally in Animal Kingdom with me and my ex-co-host, Patrick. And he just kind of woke up at one point and went, oh, I've driven right past my exit. And he wrote in and told me about that. And we coined the phrase.
That's good.
That's funny. I actually remember that show way back when. Now, you mentioned Ricky Briganti from Inside the Magic. And I was going to mention him also, in that he brings us some great binaural audio, mainly from Walt Disney World, but all over the world pretty much. Disneyland too. And you and Ricky have been doing a traditional show every New Year's for how long about now?
Oh, I think we blew right past our 5-year anniversary without even noticing it. Because we do what's called the Ear in Review. And it is our annual Yapathon, where we get together. And believe it or not, it's done in one take with no editing. We sit down, and sometimes those shows are over 5 hours long. And so we will sit down, press record, and just start talking. And we talk about everything that's happened in the world of Disney in that last year. And it's one of the most highly anticipated shows that we have each and every year. As a matter of fact, he just contacted me yesterday about when we're going to do the one for this year. So that's coming up soon, too.
Excellent. How much preparation do you do for that type of show?
None.
Uh-huh. Excellent.
Absolutely none. As a matter of fact, Ricky, because he does the news throughout the course of the year, he has the top news stories that he's covered on each of his shows. And he whittles that down and takes one or two, you know, from just the big ones from the course of the year. But we end up with a page, it's probably 2.5, 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper of just bullet points. And all it is just, it'll say, Bob Iger to retire in 2016. And that's all it says. And we will just go and, you know, I don't even look at that until we start to record. I pull it up right before we record. He always looks at me and he says, here's the list of things. Let me know if I should add anything or whatever. And then every single time we get on the phone, he says, so did you look over the sheet? And I say, no, I got to pull it up. And it's just, you know, we know the material because we just lived it over the last year. So all we need is just the name of the topic. And then the best part of the show is, of course, me trying to make Ricky laugh and doing bad puns and segues. So it's a fun show.
I've made it through all 5 hours of that show. And I'll tell you the one thing that I realized, I thought that I was the only person in the Disney community that didn't get to every movie when they came out. But then I learned that there was somebody else that really didn't get to all the movies when they came out and sort of skipped the reviews.
Yeah, I'm not a movie person. I don't go to movies very often. And, Ricky is always looking at me and saying, you know, come on, let's talk about the movies. And I said, well, I didn't go see them. And so it becomes a running gag. It's, you know, people look and they go, oh, yeah, you know, it's a Wizard of Oz. Of course, Paul, you haven't seen it because it's a movie.
Did you finally see Frozen, Paul?
I did see Frozen, yeah. As a matter of fact, I've even seen Big Hero 6.
You did?
I saw Big Hero 6.
You got one up on me.
Now, that's the opening week.
Now I feel really bad because I haven't seen that yet. And I keep hearing so many great things about it. Was it as good as I hear?
Absolutely. I really loved, loved everything about it. It was exciting. It was fun. It was quick. There was no, they did not sing Let It Go even once.
Very cool. That's kind of the running gag we have going also right now, is that Frozen might be just a little overdone at the parks. Well, how is it out in Disneyland? I know Disney World is basically covered with Frozen. How have they survived out in the West?
Actually, it's not all that present out here yet. It's got a place in the Christmas parade. Of course, there's the obligatory Anna and Elsa meet and greet. And, you know, there's shops and things that have their stuff in it. They opened up a store which is themed to Frozen. And they're going to do something in DCA here fairly soon. Matter of fact, we just closed the Mad Tea Party last night. We're expecting... Somebody asked me, they said, what is going to go in that space of the Mad Tea Party now? And I said, I don't know. Disney's been pretty tight-lipped about it, but once they let it go, I'll let you know.
there you go.
Well, that would be a pretty good bet. I mean, regardless. I do remember seeing a little hut that had Olaf on top of it, maybe 6 months ago, a little longer than that.
What, the Olaf photo opportunity?
Was it like a meet and greet, I guess?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I don't do a lot of the photo things. As a matter of fact, I just did my first one in, years, the other day at the annual Passholder Christmas party. They're sprinkled around.
Cool. Well, who was the character?
The one that I was with?
Yeah.
That was Prince John from Robin Hood.
Oh, cool.
Yes, he allowed me to kneel before him and kiss his ring.
And you don't see him a lot at all.
No. And everybody that saw the picture online, you know, of course, it being out of context, thought that I was proposing to Prince John. And I was like, no, wrong species. Thanks, though.
Yeah, a lot of wrong things going on.
I was going to say, there's so many things wrong with that, but we'll start with wrong species.
Well, while we're talking about Disneyland, what else is coming to Disneyland in the next couple months? Is there anything new? Something that we haven't heard about?
I haven't heard about anything in particular. I do know, like I was just talking about, that the Mad Tea Party has recently gone away. And there's talk that there's going to be the Frozen Sing-Along, which is in the Muppet Theater. And then we're not sure whether there's going to be something in the actual Mad Tea Party, like on the Mad Tea Party stage and things like that.
Interesting.
But I was looking through closures and refurbishments and things like that. And I don't think there's anything spectacular coming anytime soon.
Right. Now, they should be all decorated for the holidays. How often do you get down during the holidays? Do you go a lot?
Funny enough, yeah. I'm at the park once a week. I go to Trader Sam's every Friday for my standard Kungaloosh meat. And for those of you who are Adventurers Club fans, I know at least one of you is. I believe it's Ed. has the Colonel as your icon here on Skype.
Right.
He actually wrote me a letter back in 1990. Wow. I sent a Christmas card, 89, the year that the Adventurers Club opened. I sent a Christmas card. I had so much fun in late October, early November, being at the Adventurers Club, that I sent a Christmas card off to them, and I said, just addressed to the Adventurers Club, Walt Disney World, you know, and that was it. And I got this letter back that was from the Colonel. He apologized. He was typing with his writing stick or whatever you call that.
Right. And the crop.
And he said sorry about the typing, but thank you for your letter. We do a weekly Kungaloosh meet out there, and then, you know, that's for any of the listeners who are at Disneyland that particular Friday to come out and meet the people behind the microphones. And I have some of my crew come out each and every week. And we sit out there for 2 hours and just kind of, you know, just chat. And, you know, nothing spectacular. But, yeah, you know, I get out to the parks every so often and just actually walk through. I have to go out there to record the show, obviously.
Sure.
And, you know, but sometimes that's a little more sharpshooting than anything else. I'll go over to the park, go in, experience what I'm going to record, and then turn around and leave. And so, you know, that's one of the pluses of living close by.
Yeah, totally envious of you for that one.
So Paul, your meats at Trader Sam's. And we're going to get one of those eventually. Can't wait for that over at the Polynesian. But here's a question I have for you. Being a Walt Disney World guy, and I think all of us on the Disney Nerds would say that we're mostly Walt Disney World. If I'm at Trader Sam's and we were going someplace the next morning to get a feel for Disneyland, where are you going to take me? What's your spot in Disneyland?
You know, to be honest with you, Disneyland is kind of a place that, because it is so small, there's not really anywhere that you have to go to get a specific feeling. Once you walk in and walk underneath that train trestle and you're walking down Main Street, you're in it. I mean, there's no, you know, it's not like we have to hike over to Tomorrowland or anything like that. You're knee deep in it all the way, you know, right from the main gate. And so just walking in and walking down Main Street is enough. There's music, there's entertainment, there's, you know, the ride vehicles, there's Walt's apartment.
Yeah. I
mean, just all of those things that you see is just, it's just, once you get there, and plus you guys love to stand at the end of Main Street and go, so where's the castle? So, you know, I always bring people to the end of Main Street and let them have their moment.
Well, sure, it's expected. Okay, another question I have for you real quick is, and because you've been to both parks so many times, can you give me a ride in Disneyland that's in Walt Disney World that Disneyland just does better?
That Disneyland does better? Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay, give me a couple, why would that be?
Well, the Pirates of the Caribbean is almost twice as long at Disneyland as it is in Walt Disney World. And because it's kind of the original, they spend all the time and the money and everything getting it to be just so. And I think when they put it in at Florida, if I remember correctly, it was kind of a, you know, people were saying, well, where's the pirate ride? And so Disney kind of put it in there after, because it wasn't an opening day attraction in Florida, wasn't it?
It was not. You're absolutely correct.
No. I think the thinking at the time was kind of along the lines of, well, they're in the Caribbean to begin with. Why would they want a ride that shows that again?
Right. And so, you know, when you ride the two, you know, back to back, even just listening to the audio, it's just so much nicer to start in the Blue Bayou and then go down the waterfalls and end up, you know, in the caves and then come out into where the ship is and then, you know, go through the burning town. And it flows and you're in there forever. It's like 15, 16 minutes, you know, and I think yours is 8.5 or 9. And, you know, so it's so much nicer. I assume that the next question, though, is going to be the reverse, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
You read my mind.
Right. Haunted Mansion.
I was thinking when you were talking about length, I was absolutely thinking about Mansion, Paul.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not even talking about length with Mansion. I'm just talking about quality. First off, your elevator or your stretching room, should I say.
Because right.
yours is not an elevator, is, since they've installed that new sound system, is just phenomenal. Walking in there and having the ghost host kind of slide up behind you during his conversation with you, you know, things like that is just wonderful. And then you guys have just designed the heck out of yours. I have not been on it since the upgrades. I think the last upgrades I saw was the footsteps. Mm-hmm. But I've heard and I've seen video of everything else, and just all of the new additions, the ghosts riding with you at the end, and your new queue even by itself while you're waiting outside, it's just fabulous. It's just so much better.
Right. Now, I don't know why I always assume that the rides would get the same treatment on either side of the country, but I guess it just depends on the park itself.
I prefer that they do things differently in the two parks. When I go to Walt Disney World, I don't want to look and say, well, I don't have to go to the Magic Kingdom because I go to Disneyland. And a lot of people say that. They say, you know, I go to Disneyland. I don't need to go to Disneyland at Walt Disney World. And, you know, besides the fact that that's not what it is, it's, you know, there's so much different there. And, you know, I like going there and knowing that Pirates is different, knowing that, you know, everything is different. Splash Mountain is different. Main Street is larger, longer, you know, taller, faster, better, stronger. You know, insert $6 million man music here.
But, Space Mountain's much different in both places.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, ours is nice and smooth and yours is like Chiropractic Mountain.
Yeah.
You know, but
you know, there's some things the out next... there.
No. That's fine. You're right. There are things out here. You know, Matterhorn. I cannot ride now because it is so rough that my back can't take it.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, there's things and people compare, you know, East Coast and West Coast all the time. And I say you really can't. It's not a fair question.
And I kind of agree with that. And even the attractions themselves, even if they do start out similar, it really depends on that park itself and how they ride. Everest, when it first opened up, I thought was one of the smoothest roller coasters. It was the first roller coaster I didn't get the big bump when you got to the hill as you started going up. They had that down to a science. Now it's like every other roller coaster. You get to the hill, you get that big jarring bump, and then you start going up the hill. So as time goes on, each of these rides get their own little character, and you know, some of it's good, some of it's not.
Yeah, and now, Everest has got its own little character. It's got its own big character too. And even though he doesn't move anymore, I still love going through there and seeing that Yeti.
That's cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So the one thing you do have over there that I wish we had in Walt Disney World is that Haunted Mansion overlay. That Haunted Mansion holiday is awesome.
Oh yes, that's a good thing. It's been going on for quite a while. When we had our Friends of the Magic gathering, which is our yearly gathering of podcasters and podcast listeners out here at Disneyland, we invited two of the voices of the Haunted Mansion, Corey Burton, who does the Haunted Mansion holiday ghost host, and Peter Renaday, who was the voice of the ghost host on the 1969 LP of the story of the Haunted Mansion. We had them down to join us for dinner, and then we interviewed them for the people that were in attendance. And, you know, it's just wonderful listening to these guys. And one of the things that Corey said was that he never figured that it would fly. He figured it would be a 1 or 2 year thing, and that then it would be gone. And now it has received like cult status. And it's a wonderful overlay.
They do something similar. Well, no, they do something at Space Mountain, but I wouldn't say it's similar for the holidays. Is that correct?
Yeah, kind of. It's called Space Mountain Ghost Galaxy, which is, you know, basically they went in and they put projectors all over the attraction, and it's a different soundtrack because whereas at Walt Disney World, your Space Mountain has music, but if I'm not mistaken, it's not coming out of the cars. It's coming out of speakers mounted to the attraction, right?
That's correct.
Right.
Okay. See, our cars have a built-in sound system on them. And so they have a different soundtrack going as you're going through. And it's very menacing. And as you go up the big lift hill right at the beginning, you see a ghost galaxy that grabs a hold of the tube that you're in and shakes it about. And then you go off through space being chased by this galaxy. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's, you know, it's always fun when they change things up, especially for the holidays.
That is. And I think at some point, Ed, we have to do a show of ride comparisons, because just in listening now, I think listeners need to understand that the cars in Walt Disney World's Space Mountain are very similar to the cars in the Matterhorn at Disneyland. And Disneyland's Space Mountain cars are more similar to the Rock and Roller Coaster than any other thing at Walt Disney World. Much different ride.
Sure.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I would say that's a fair description. Yeah.
And who would have thought that? Again, Space Mountain, Space Mountain.
Right.
Okay, well, one of the things we wanted to talk to Paul about tonight and try to get a feel of what's happening down in Hollywood Studios. Now, as we all know, we've talked about it a little bit the last couple of shows, there's a lot of changes going on down there. Eventually, we feel that the name of the park's going to change. And Sam, last week, was kind of throwing out there, maybe Disney's California Adventure might be something of a blueprint for Hollywood Studios. So we have Paul on today. We figured let's ask him about it, see what he thinks.
And I'll add a little bit to that. This is sort of where that comes from. I happened to be in Disneyland for that D23 2011 Expo when they finally took a lot of the walls down from the very front of California Adventure and they revealed the new entranceway or the breezeway. And if you're familiar with Hollywood Studios and Walt Disney World, it looks exactly like Hollywood Studios, but this is Disney's California Adventure. And when you look at the investment that Disney's made to quote unquote fix what was perceived as a broken park has resulted in a massive increase in attendance. In fact, it's up 35% in the last 5 years. And I really want to hear from someone that's been there, you know, what they've done. Has it fixed Disney's California Adventure? What's the best part of this redo? The new park's open. What do you think, Paul? What's happening there?
Well, let's put it this way. When they relaunched DCA, there was a period after that relaunch when somebody said, so when was the last time you were at Disneyland?
Wow.
And I couldn't remember because I was so blown away by what they have done over in DCA that every single time I walked into the resort, I was going to California Adventure. And yeah, I think the fact that they let it slip just recently that they're going to rename your park to Disney Florida Adventure. So I think it's, I think that's a good statement that they're going to use this as a blueprint. And I think they should. Let's put it this way. You were talking about how the entryways are very similar now. And I kind of agree on that, but at the same time, I don't. Because ours is a lot smaller, it's a lot shorter, and it's a lot more friendly. And I don't mean yours is unfriendly, but I mean ours is friendly. It's very compact and very close to you. And it feels like an old Hollywood bungalow, like streets. You're transported into a different time as you're walking down Buena Vista Street. And it really feels great as you walk in to see all of the, it's heavy, heavy architecture now. The detail is incredible as you're walking around there. They've even built things like mice into the architecture, and just running along on some of the railings, there will be mice.
Wow.
And not Mickey and Minnie, you know, that kind of thing, but just little mice. And you don't even notice them unless you're actually standing there looking at them. And it's just wonderful. You get down to the end and there's the beautiful Carthay Circle fountain and then the Carthay Circle restaurant, which I spend a lot of time. Let's put it this way. For my birthday, I put out because the Friends of the Magic was the weekend after my birthday. I put out on my show and to all of my friends that I wanted to hold my birthday at Carthay Circle. And I ended up having a group of 12 people join me. We went into the Wishing Well room up in the actual tower of the Carthay Circle tower there for lunch. And then 25 people joined me for dinner.
Wow.
And when you think about it and you think, well, okay, that's fine. Paul's got a lot of friends. Great. But the fact is that all of these people, and some of them attended both lunch and dinner. Lunch was $64 and dinner was $121 a person. And all of these people bought into this because this thing that Disney has created is so wonderful and so worth it that they were willing to spend that kind of money just to have dinner with their friends in this place. And that's, I think, the best part of all of this is that now as you're walking through and you're enjoying, you know, Hollywood Land. Yeah, I don't know about the name, but Hollywood Land, you know, the Bugs Land, Cars Land, Roller Coaster Land. No, but the, you know, the entire park is just so complete now. You can go through it. It used to be, I would always joke, that you go over to California Adventure for just a few minutes, and then you go to Disneyland to spend your day. And now you can spend several days at California Adventure and be just fine. There's so many things to do, so many things to see, rides, shows, attractions, food. Just, it's a wonderful place to go.
So let's head back for a second to that, to Buena Vista Street and coming down to that center where the fountain is. And ultimately, that's where the new partner statue is, right? In that area?
Yeah, it is just to the left as you reach Carthay Circle.
Okay, so a partner statue, which I've only seen pictures of. I've not yet been able to stand next to it and get my picture taken, which hopefully happens soon. But we know that in Hollywood Studios, we're losing the Sorcerer's Hat, right? And some people are upset about it. Other people are just waiting to see what happens. I will trade that hat for a partner statue any day of the week.
Yeah.
I just hope that that center location you described is what we can expect in Florida.
Yeah. The storyteller statue, which is, you know, what the partner statue is in California Adventure, is, you know, it's the same yet different from the partner statue because it is, it's a younger Walt. It's got he and Mickey with their suitcases, and it's definitely talking about that time period where they have just arrived in California to begin their adventure as storytellers. And yeah, there's a park behind it where you can sit and relax. Characters come out there occasionally and get their photos taken, and they're all in period outfits, like Goofy's wearing a green plaid zoot suit, and oh yeah, it's, you know, it's
so there's like sitting on the benches in this park behind the statue. Is that
they'll come out and stand next to the benches.
Oh, they come out and, you know, character meeting. Yeah, I got it.
Right. So, you know, and it's just a nice little shaded area with trees and, you know, the music is playing through the speakers in the area and everything. And, you know, it's got its own, the Buena Vista Street's got its own loop. And, you know, it's great music. You can hear it on one of my my prior episodes as I went up and just stuck a microphone in one of the speakers and let it play for an hour. And it's just everything sets the stage for this beautifully constructed park that just simply wasn't there when it opened in 2001.
Now, as far as the California Adventure goes now, can you predict if they would or what would the next ride replacement be? I mean, is it that far ahead of the curve that it's not foreseeable that anything's going to change?
I know there's been a bunch of rumors that they're going to be doing different things in the Hollywoodland area. And that I would think would be pretty much the only area that really needs anything at this point. You know, they were going to put in a couple of different things back there. But my understanding is that due to budget cuts and things with your wristbands out there in Florida, that is kind of putting a crimp on the money flow. But the only thing I know for sure that's going to be shifting at DCA anytime soon is Luigi's Flying Tires. And that's the attraction that currently is very similar to the original Flying Saucers attraction from Tomorrowland of 1967. And you basically go out and you get into a huge tire, and you float on a cushion of air, and your job is to bump into other people. And, you know, it's fun. A lot of people don't understand how it works, because one of the things that that people nowadays lack is subtlety. People think, you know, if I want to go that way, I lean that way. And you lean that way. You don't lean that way. And, you know, there's a difference between those two. And one pushes the tire over and touches it to the ground, and the other one causes the tire to shift very slowly over in the other direction. And it takes that kind of control in order to have it happen. And so I think most people are pretty upset when, you know, because you only get a minute or so, 90
there's
seconds.
There's got to be
maybe
a 60-second learning curve, I would think,
right,
to figure it out.
Yeah. So, you know, it's almost like, okay, write it. Okay, now you get to actually write it. And so they're going to get rid of it. I'm pretty sure they're gonna tear it down and put something else in its place. I think that I'm not sure that's been officially announced to, you know, me. I don't follow the news until the Erin reveal. But there's definitely something that's going to go on back there. And, you know, they spend a ton of money on this park. And John Lasseter has a lot of input into the Carsland area specifically because it's his baby. And they do good work back there. So I'm looking forward to it.
Right. And they have spent a lot of money in the last 5-8 years between the two parks. I got to think that they're giving Florida a break now.
I would certainly hope so, because I know that what's it called nowadays? Disney Studios? Disney Hollywood Studios?
Disney Hollywood Studios. Correct.
That's what it's today.
MGM.
Yeah, Disney MGM Studios. Right. I still call it Epcot Center. So...
Before you mentioned how you heard that it was going to be Disney's Hollywood Studios, has that actually come out?
Disney's Florida.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Disney's Florida Studios. Has that actually been announced?
I love when I can get people to buy into those things. Well, I throw things out like that.
I would do the same thing. Just throw something out and see.
Yeah, and I'm glad that it took you so long to ask.
Well, because I've actually gone through that whole like thought process already. And I'm like, well, there's no way they could ever do that because the entire front half of the park looks like California, Hollywood.
Right. Yeah. I throw things out like that just to trip people up sometimes.
Right.
I expect you to call me on it right when I said it, but
that's all right. We let people finish talking, then we'll call you on it.
It's bad to do with me because, as you can tell so far, I talk.
So let's do a quick comparison here with Star Tours aside, because Star Tours lives over in your Tomorrowland in Disneyland. But the other attractions that you'll find in California Adventure that are familiar to all Walt Disney World fans are things like the Tower of Terror, Muppet Vision, Soarin', Toy Story Mania, a lot of the marquee attractions from some of our parks. You have the big roller coaster, which I'd compare to the Rockin' roller coaster, although obviously it's outside. A lot of attractions that have been duplicated, but there are also a lot of areas that are new. Obviously, Cars Land, which we talked about. I think one that we tend to overlook is that Bugs Land area that you talked about. Mm-hmm. Which is really it's a lot of attractions in a small area, primarily kid type attractions.
Yeah, although it you know, they have one of the attractions that we do every year for the Friends of the Magic Gathering is Heimlich's Choo Choo Train.
I was wondering if it would be that one. That's great.
Yeah, and we do that. We get together because it's kind of funny because you get 30 to 40, you know, full-sized adults climbing into a caterpillar and going around a quick touch on nutrition. You know, the thing moves at about a half a mile an hour. And it's really, there's nothing to it. You're going through static sets. And things, and you know, Heimlich's like, oh, look, it's some watermelon. Let's, you know, and
that was good,
you know, and that's all there is to it. And so we get on the attraction, and we're like, you know, all of us are hands up and screaming in the corners, and you know, and it takes 10 seconds to get around a corner, so you're screaming for 10 seconds trying to get around these corners. So, you know, I mean, it's not it's not the most exciting section of the park, but if you have a little kid, they're gonna love it.
Well, and, you know, so there's three or four attractions in that small area,
right? Yeah, there's the Ladybug Spin, there's Flix Flyers, there's the bumper cars. Tough to Be a Bug is
nearby too, right? I forgot that one's down there.
Yeah, it's actually, that's, I would consider that to be outside, but technically it's inside because the sign is
so, and I guess one of the points that I'm getting to, when we talked about Hollywood Studios on a show recently, you come to the realization that once you knock down those big attractions, there's not much left for the kids to do, right? Outside of a couple of shows. And that's why something like Bugs Land, not that it would be that, but just an area where you have 3, 4, 5 attractions the younger kids can appreciate and enjoy, is something I think is missing from that park.
When you say that park, which one are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Hollywood Studios.
Oh, okay.
It just isn't anything really for, other than the Tough to, or Honey, I Shrunk the Onions playground, but that's, you know.
Right, yeah. Yeah, because going through the list that you were talking about and what I can remember, other than the, you know, the Indiana Jones thing, which a lot of little kids will probably find too long and slow. Boy, yeah, there really isn't a lot. Are they still doing the Little Mermaid show in there?
The Little Mermaid show is still there. Sure. Yeah, the shows, the Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast, are still being played.
And I got to think the Frozen sing-along is getting a lot of kids in there.
It is.
Yeah, that I heard audio of that recently, and that was cute, hearing all the little girls right. singing along. And actually, that happened in one of the buses on the way to the Toy Story lot. Just a couple of days ago, I was leaving the resort, and there was a little girl up in the front of the bus, and you could just hear her singing with all her might. And so, you know, as much as we don't like that, those kids are really enjoying themselves.
That's who it's for, too. It's not for me and you.
Right.
We'll be on Pirates of the Caribbean or Haunted Mansion.
Right.
They'll be in the sing-along.
Right. They can go to the sing-along, and we'll go to the nearest bar.
The one thing we haven't talked about at DCA, which when I was there 5 nights, and I went to see this, I think, 7 times, and that's World of Color.
Oh, yeah, they do that too.
So what are your thoughts on that? Has it worn off? So many years later, is it still cool to go see?
Yeah, it is. And especially because, you know, by nature, it was designed as a series of plug-ins. And by plugins, I mean there's the opening, then there's the second scene, then there's the third scene and the fourth scene. And if you wanted to remove the third scene and put in a new third scene, you could, and it just would flow. Mm-hmm. And it was designed, you know, it's basically a series of Legos. And so what they can do is, you know, when Christmas times comes around, they can turn it into Holiday World of Color. And, you know, they can have a specific thing that runs at the beginning that doesn't run during the normal shows, or, you know, whatever the new movie is, they can plug it into the normal one. And it just, it keeps it new and fresh. And those fast passes still sell out. And that place is a madhouse. In that, I mean, you know, you were there for that.
I was there. Yep. And I fortunately was staying at California, the Grand Californian. So I got in a little early to get that fast pass, which was
right. Cool. Yeah. And that's, you know, of course, you know, the way that I do that is I always go over and eat at the Carthay Circle, and then they give you a fast pass there.
Good. And these are still paper classic fast passes. Nothing's changed at Disneyland, right?
Yeah, so it's a fast pass. It's not a wristband based thingy or an app.
Is there a word coming down that that's going to change, or are you guys going to stay that way?
I haven't heard word one about it coming here. So,
but then you wouldn't know about it till the year in review.
That's correct. Yes.
So hopefully next month we'll find out about it.
Yeah, if it were a movie, I wouldn't find out about it at all. So there we go.
Yeah. So, Paul, 10 years ago, or just about 10 years ago, you put those binaural earplugs in your ears and started walking into Disneyland, because at the time there was nothing at California Adventure. Did you think you'd be here 10 years later? What are your thoughts for a podcast that's been around a year?
Oh, Lord. When I first put the the mics on and walked into the park, I expected I might get 10 or 15 episodes out of the thing. And I'm coming up on 500 episodes currently.
Wow, nice.
And, yeah. And it's definitely something that I never expected. So basically, when people ask me for advice when they're going to start a podcast, my advice to them is don't. And, you know, I qualify that by then saying what I mean is unless you are willing to commit to doing a show all the time, basically for the 9.5 years that I've been doing this show, any period of time that I haven't been at my regular full-time day job, I've been facilitating Window to the Magic and making it happen and, you know, recording, editing, producing. And then the best part of it, which is meeting with the fans and the listeners and interacting with other podcasters and all of the social parts that happen with it. And you say you guys have only been around for a year. You're just starting. There's so much fun ahead of it for you. Don't know if you guys have meetups at Walt Disney World, but if you don't, have them. You know, set up a time when you guys can all get together at Walt Disney World and invite your fans and listeners to come down and join you guys, because the podcasting is all about community and all about friendship, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. So while I say don't do it, you know, what I really mean is if you're gonna do it and do it with every bit that is in you, and you won't be sorry.
Totally agree. You're speaking to the choir on this one.
Absolutely. We had our first meet around Food and Wine Festival. Ed pulled together a scavenger hunt for us, and it was absolutely incredible. Lots of fans, lots of teams going around World Showcase while all the food booths were up, and you're absolutely right. That's great advice, Paul. Thank you so much.
You bet. You bet. So thanks again for having me, guys. This is, you know, anytime you guys, you know, need somebody to come on and talk about themselves, you know.
Window to the Magic, absolutely an original podcast in the Disney community. And I say that because it's one of the first that I found years ago. Thanks for everything you do, Paul. And if you guys are interested, windowtothemagic.com. Surround yourself with the magic. I can't do that justice, but I tried.
You did a great job.
Excellent. Kungaloosh. Thanks again, Paul.
You bet. Kungaloosh.
Well, that's it for show number 61. Thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch with the show or leave us a comment, please send an email to thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Or if you have a chance, stop by our Facebook pages, The Disney Nerd Podcast and The Disney Nerds group page. We also have a website out there, thedisneynerdspodcast.com. So thanks everybody for listening. Thank you, Paul, for being on the show this week. It was truly appreciated. And we'll see everybody else next week. Talk to you later, guys. Kungaloosh.